Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. We are recording this on 14th of February, right after the Xiaomi launch event, where they announced the Redmi Note 5, the Redmi Note 5 Pro, and the Mi TV 4. So to talk about these three products, we have our reviews editors at Royden Sarejo.
Hey, what's up?
And Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. Xiaomi's USP has always been value for money, and the Redmi Note 5 and the Redmi Note 5 Pro both appear to offer that. Now, Royden has been reviewing the Redmi Note 5 Pro.
Yeah.
I think your review is almost complete, right?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, and Aditya Shenoy has been reviewing the Redmi Note 5.
Yeah.
So we've had the two devices with us for a few days. That gives us a little bit of expertise to talk about these phones. But the Mi TV 4, unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to look at it ourselves just yet. So whatever we say about the Mi TV 4 will be based on what we saw at the event, at the live stream which we followed, but not exactly based on our own experience with it. With that disclaimer out of the way, I think we should first start by talking about the Redmi Note 5. Shenoy?
Yeah. So, the Redmi Note 5, yeah, like the name suggests, it's a successor of the Redmi Note 4. And the Redmi Note 4 has been one of the best-selling smartphones for Xiaomi. And because of which, it's also got the number one spot, like, of the most manufacturer who's managed to sell the most amount of smartphones. So, for the Redmi Note 5, what they've done is, it looks like they did not take a very bold approach and, you know, went with new hardware. They just stuck with what was there with the Note 4 and improved on it. So with the Note 5, you get the same Snapdragon 625 processor. And like they've said in the presentation as well, that they thought that it offered great efficiency and good thermal management. So they've stuck with that processor. And they've changed the variants a little. So the Note 4, you used to get it in three different variants. That is 216, 332, and 464.
Yeah, that's RAM and storage, obviously.
Yeah. So, and whereas for the Note 5, they've chucked the base variant. So now you get 3GB RAM, 32GB of internal storage, and 4GB RAM and 64GB of internal storage. Battery-wise, it's roughly the same, 4000 mAh. And yeah, the main thing is the big display. So it's in line with what most of the manufacturers are launching. So you get that big 5.99-inch 18:9 aspect ratio display and with Full HD Plus resolution, which otherwise it's quite rare in this price point because most other phones that we have seen have HD Plus resolution. And they've also improved on the camera is what they're claiming in terms of specs. We are still in the process of checking out the camera. So, you know, they have... gone for a slightly lower resolution, like from the 13 megapixel on the Note 4 to a 12 megapixel on the Note 5, but bigger pixel size. So they claim that low light performance is better. And so that's about it for the Note 5. So
and
overall,
price.
And the price, yeah. So the price is 9999, that is 9999 for the base variant, which is 3GB of RAM and 32GB of internal storage. And 11,999 for the 4GB RAM, 64GB RAM storage variant.
So about $1,000 cheaper than the Note 4 variants, essentially.
Yeah. So something we've discussed earlier as well. Back in the day, which means maybe like 3 years ago, Xiaomi used to have, what, one or two phones in the market. But now they have way too many phones, especially in the budget segment.
Yeah.
And, you know, leading up to the mid-range 20,000 rupees segment. So... this new launch, Redmi Note 5, especially the top variant at 11999, I think it's quite close to the Mi A1, which retails at 13999.
Yeah.
So there's a 2000 rupee difference between like these two phones. So once again, like, you know, we are facing this kind of a like issue conundrum in terms of like which one to recommend because Xiaomi has so many decent models available at various price points. So which one does the Redmi Note 5 exactly compete against?
So it's very, very close to the Redmi Y1. It's I think the Y1 was priced at 8999 if I'm not wrong. And the Note 5 is quite similarly priced, like 9999, very close to it. Whereas the 464GB variant is 11999. It's cheaper than the Mi A1.
Mm.
But again, you get MIUI instead of stock Android, which was clearly winning the
poll. I think
in
terms of positioning, they're pretty clear. It just replaces the Redmi Note 4, which has always played around in that price bracket, you know, between 10,000 to 12,000 to 13,000. So it just basically replaces that model. And in terms of competition, I think it'll compete with like the Honor 7X.
Yeah.
And,
if you asked for that, yeah, it will compete against the Honor 7X,
And on a 9 Lite also, maybe the base variant on a 9 Lite, I guess.
Yeah. And also, I think the Infinix Hot S3 that was recently launched.
Yeah, all 18:9 display phones.
Basically. Yeah, you may not have heard of the Infinix Hot S3, but it was a pretty decent phone for a brand that we haven't really come across before. So yeah, Redmi Note 5, I think we've given a gist of it. Redmi Note 5 Pro is due. So this is a phone that sort of, you know, mimics the iPhone 10.
I mean, not sort of, it's like a direct copy from the back. Just as...
I mean, just the camera bump.
Okay. Yeah. That's not the entire
thing. That, and apart from that, it's like a, you know, a similar looking variant of the Redmi Note 5. Yeah. So, Royden, why don't you take over?
So, if you notice, like previously, before the Redmi Note 3 came, which was sort of a turning point for Xiaomi as a company, most of their phones were like plastic based, and it was always known to have, you know, if you want something cheap and sort of reliable, then Xiaomi was the answer, but then you have to make compromises in terms of build and everything. And the Note 3 sort of changed that perspective. Like a couple of years back, you know, at around 10,000-11,000, there weren't many phones which had like metal bodies and offered performance that could, you know, rival phones that were maybe even twice the price. And the Note 3 was sort of one of the first phones which actually changed that whole scene, even for Xiaomi themselves. And the competition. So the Note 5 Pro is sort of a spiritual successor to the Note 3, as in like it pushes the performance bar for that price range even further. So for those who weren't watching the live stream or aren't aware of it, this is the first retail phone to debut with Qualcomm's new mid-range chip, which is the Snapdragon 636. So this was announced around October of last year. And it's a mid-range chipset because it's in the 600 series of Qualcomm's lineup. But this is the second chipset to feature their own custom chips. Yeah, in this one, what they've done is they've taken the architecture from ARM, but they've completely customized the chip themselves, built it in-house. And that's why the naming scheme is different. It's called Cairo, the name of the CPUs. And previously, these CPUs were only reserved for the 800 series, the flagship series chipsets. So this is the second chipset in the mid-range which to feature these new cores. And I mean, we've been running some benchmarks on these phones, and the performance is really, really impressive. Like, it beats the 630 chipset, which was found on the Moto X4, which is around 20,000 rupees. So it's at least maybe 10 to 15% better than that, at least in terms of benchmark numbers. So this is the debut for that chip, and that is the first for this phone. Another big improvement, of course, is the display. It's the same as the Redmi Note 5. So that is a big change, 18:9. And the camera is, again, quite important for both these phones. But in the Note Pro, because it's like the Pro model, they have added a secondary 5-megapixel sensor to the back camera for portrait mode. So you get that depth effect.
Yeah.
Okay. So the price of the Note 5 Pro.
So the price of the Note 5 Pro, obviously, and being Xiaomi, isn't a lot higher compared to the Redmi Note 5. In fact, it's the exact same price as the Mi A1. It starts at 13,999 for the 4GB, 64GB version, and 16,999, around 17,000. For the version with 6GB of RAM and 64GB of storage.
Okay. So one thing I noticed with the Redmi Note 5 Pro in particular is that it has a micro USB port.
Yeah, that is something, again, it's very disappointing. I mean, I would expect at least for the Pro model to have a Type-C port, if not the Note 5.
But you know what? The Mi A1 has a USB Type-C port.
Exactly.
It's kind of strange to see the company going for a Type-C port in some of its phones and not in others.
But then that could have been one of the guidelines from Google, since it was part of the Android One program. That could be the reason why they had to put a Type-C port in.
Yeah, sure. But still, like, if you've launched one phone with Type-C...
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason not to use Type-C. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not going to cost them anything more than putting a micro USB. Yeah.
And since they already have it in the likes of Mi Mix 2 as well.
It's not like they don't have it. Yeah. I mean, they had it from the time since the Mi 5 was launched, had a Type-C as well.
Yeah. So this is where the likes of Samsung and all get a lot of things right? Once they switched to Type-C, I think they stuck to Type-C.
At least for the flagships.
So next thing for these is obviously camera performance. So both of you have used these phones, right? So
yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Camera is actually pretty good. I've not done like a head-on-head comparison with the Redmi Note 4. But I would say it's definitely improved from what I remember using the Redmi Note 4. Low light is pretty good. Landscapes are not great again, but then again, like looking at the price, I wouldn't really expect anything more.
Okay, so one second before you go on. Yeah. Shana, do you want to talk about the Redmi Note 5's camera?
Yeah.
Just briefly tell us about it, yeah.
So, for the Redmi Note 5 camera, they have changed the sensor. So, but then, you know, it has larger pixels, which lets it capture more light in low light conditions. So, what we've seen is that it does do low light slightly better, but at the same time, you have to have a very steady hand. Otherwise, you will have blurry images. Other than that, for daylight photos, it's been decent, but I do think that, you know, color reproduction isn't very accurate based on what all photos I've clicked. I would still want to click a few more and see if it's actually the case with the Redmi Note 5.
All right, and how do these cameras stack up against the competition?
Against the competition, I would say they are pretty, I think, on par with some of the good ones like the Moto G5 S Plus.
And how about you?
And yeah, so this thing will go up against the G5 and the G5 S. So it's pretty much similar to what the Moto clicks, if not better.
During the event, they seem to compare this camera with the iPhone 10 and the Google Pixel 2. Yeah. So are those comparisons?
I think those comparisons that they made were mainly for the bokeh mode, portrait mode.
And for the Pro.
Mainly for the Pro. So another thing I forgot to mention is that the Pro has the portrait mode for the front camera as well, even though it doesn't have a second sensor, but it uses Xiaomi is in homegrown AI algorithms to detect edges and, you know, blur out the background. And actually, from what I've been testing so far, it does a pretty good job. Like in good lighting or even in low light, the effect is pretty good. Edges are detected decently well. I mean, you can see some anomalies if you zoom in all the way, but I don't think anyone's going to do that for a selfie portrait. Yeah. So by itself, the effect is pretty good. We haven't compared it yet against the Pixel, which also does software-based portrait mode. So that is something that worth checking out, actually. And since they brought it up during the presentation, it's quite interesting to check out how it actually
But they compares. Seem to have this like theme going on where they constantly compare their products with the best of the best, such as the iPhone 10 and the Pixel 2. And this was like a theme throughout the presentation, right? Even when they were showing the price, they were like, okay, this top-end Samsung phone, this costs so much, and this mid-range phone costs so much, but look at our phone, it's only 10,000.
Yeah, that is a bit of a misdirection because, I mean, they compare it to phones which had like Snapdragon 835, right, and this chipset doesn't really compare anywhere close to a Snapdragon 835.
So they compared it with the OnePlus 5T and the Samsung Galaxy S8 and honestly showing that, you know, the OnePlus 5T is like 32,999 and the Samsung Galaxy S8 is like 51 if I'm not wrong. And they've compared it to the Xiaomi the Redmi 5 Pro Note 5 Pro. And I don't think it's fair, honestly, to compare it.
I think they did it only because that Karl Pei put out a tweet saying, don't delete this poll.
Possible.
So, it isn't fair, honestly, because, like Royden said, those are flagship level processors. This processor is not close when it comes to performance. It's better than other Snapdragon 600 series processor, but it's still not comparable to a Snapdragon 800 series processor. And that's the reason why it's in the 6 series and it's not a part of the 800 series. So, it's kind of misleading to say that, to compare it
and
with...
And you know what? If they actually want to compare it with that level of processor, then why don't you compare it with Mi Mix 2? See, that Mi Mix 2 costs 35,000.
Exactly, the Mi Mix 2 also has a
half price, but it's better.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't have gone down well. As it is, I don't know how much the Mi Mix 2 is selling because I haven't seen one.
Same here. I haven't seen a single person using it.
I mean, anecdotes are not data, as we keep saying on this podcast. But if a phone is doing well, you tend to see it around, especially like, you know, with these high-end phones, one or two of them will show up somewhere with somebody.
I mean, I've seen a lot of iPhone 10.
Yeah, like, same. It's surprising how many
people using iPhone 10.
Yeah, and even the Pixel has shown up quite a bit. You know, I've seen at least four or five people using the Pixel.
Weird. I've yet to see it, actually.
Oh, maybe I met Chennai 4 times. Okay, so jokes aside, those comparisons were definitely a big miss in the presentation. And I think Xiaomi should stop trying to compare its budget and mid-range phones with like high-end flagships, because frankly they are not in the same class, and there's a reason why this phone costs 20,000 exactly. and the others cost 60,000 or whatever. Yes. Sure, I've always been saying that the phones that cost 60, 70, 80,000 are not priced because, you know, they are worth that much money. It's just because these companies think that at that price people will buy them.
Yeah.
But comparing your 20,000 rupee phone with that is doing your own phone a disservice, man. Somebody will buy that phone and then they'll probably like end up comparing it with one of these flagships and they'll end up with a very bad impression of your company. I think they need to like abandon that at some point and let people appreciate their products for what they are. So one more thing about this phone before we move on to something else is I don't know like if you guys have spoken much about the audio quality, like how it has been in terms of both the speaker and like listening to music, etc.
So the audio, the loudspeaker on the Note 5 is good. So if you are watching content on it, it's live, it's loud enough. It's not this.
It's fine, just carry on.
It's loud enough to basically listen, like, you know, to make the content engaging. But at the same time, the positioning isn't very good. And it's very easy to like mute it while holding it in landscape mode. And that's what I noticed as well. And other than that, for headphones and all, it really depends on what headphones you use, because the phones don't come with a set of headphones in the box.
Yes, this is a good thing you highlighted this. Yeah. So yeah, everybody who's buying these two phones, just remember the Xiaomi phones. I don't think any Xiaomi phone comes with a headset bundle. So whatever, if you want to listen to music and all, you'll have to spend extra on headphones. So add that to the price of the phone. Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know anybody who would not want a pair of headphones with their phone. Okay, so Royden, were you happy with the audio quality?
Yeah, there's really not much to complain about. I mean, it's a mono speaker, so the audio is decent for that. But like Shenoy said, you can block it when gaming or watching video in landscape mode, and you have your thumb usually tends to block it. The DAC in the phone is pretty decent if you have like a good pair of headphones, and they also have a bunch of pre-customized presets for different Xiaomi earphones as well. So you can directly switch to that for like better audio. So it's not bad. I mean, I don't think we've ever had like a Xiaomi phone which has had bad audio as such. So
Okay. And what about the display for both phones?
Display is good. 18:9 Full HD. So slightly higher than the normal 16:9 Full HD resolution. This is Full HD Plus.
Yeah.
So the display is good. Colors are nice. You can tweak the saturation level and the contrast levels and all the settings.
I think that is a good feature to have, and you can like if a lot of people like boosted colors, like they want the display to be saturated, and this gives you the option to tweak it to how you like it. So that is something nice.
Yeah, so what I don't like here is that while the display is like covering the entire screen and some apps, you know, make you full use of that.
Yeah.
But you have to swipe up from the bottom to bring in this app switcher.
Oh, that's something I enable. You can auto hide it. So you can disable that if you want.
So why don't they like integrate it in the bottom of the phone where there's so much space remaining in the bezel?
Because that would be too far bottom. Like it would be very difficult to manage the phone because you're pushing all the weight on the top and you have to.
Yeah.
So when
wouldn't be convenient.
When you make this kind of a display, having some sort of a like software based thing is a better idea.
Software based thing is definitely better
If you have capacitive buttons at the bottom, it would be really hard. So you'll have to shuffle the phone in your hand so that you can reach the buttons, and the chances of the phone tipping over and falling down is really, really high.
Yeah. So while this trend has been going on of like bezels becoming thinner and thinner, with these two phones at least, while the display resolution is 18:9, there is quite a bit of bezel on the top and bottom. Yeah, even on the sides there is a thin bezel, but that is, I think, acceptable. It's not that bad.
Like, to be honest, it's quite a good looking phone. I mean, apart from all the 18:9 budget phones that we've seen so far, this is definitely one of the good looking ones, especially if you get the white and gold version. It looks pretty nice, I think.
Yeah. I like the stealthy look on the black one.
Okay, cool. So one more product that Xiaomi announced there. Thankfully, on the stage, they didn't say one more thing. They tried one last thing this time.
I did expect one more thing from them, but they didn't. Thankfully.
Yeah, so thankfully. Anyway, so after going on and on about like how amazing the product is, etc., we got to the real news in the picture, which is the Mi TV 4. Was launched at 39,999 rupees.
Yeah.
Now, if you are balking at this price, you should know that this is a 4K HDR TV, and While 4K TVs are available at reasonably cheap prices, maybe, you know, under 50,000, you'll find quite a bit of quite a few companies offering 4K TVs. The real deal here is HDR. So HDR is a technology that makes your pictures look actually good, videos look really good. So that is the technology that we've been after personally. So 4K HDR TV under 50,000, I don't think there's a single one available in India right now, except
also,
for the Xiaomi.
Not to forget, this is a 55-inch LED TV.
Yeah, the size is more
important.
Size
is it's much bigger. So we like, I was kind of thinking that they would get the 49-inch so that, you know, you have a lower starting price point, but it looks they're going for only one model. So they internationally, I think they have the 49-inch, the 55-inch and the 65-inch models, but in India they've only launched the 55-inch model and they're calling it the Mi LED TV 4.
Yeah.
So, and at that price, honestly,
it's a pretty good price.
On,
I mean,
yeah, when you look at the specs and you look at the price, it does look good. But again, I'll reserve my comments till I
actually see it. So the reason why we are not really, you know, getting too excited over the price alone is that usually, like, if the price is really low, there can be a chance of certain compromises being made. And with a TV, you never really know until you use it personally.
Yeah.
Even if you see it in a showroom, they might have, you know, pre-calibrated settings to make it look a certain way.
Yeah. Also, it'll look different in showroom lighting. Again, at home, it might just look completely different.
Yeah, which is why, you know, we will be reviewing this TV and you can wait for our review to see what it actually looks like. But, you know, I am just like a little wary of like recommending this TV to anybody based on the price alone. Because the real thing is in picture quality. Two same 4K TVs, like you put them next to each other and they will show you completely different quality of pictures that can happen because of the quality of the panel. And similarly with 4K HDR TVs, like if the implementation is not correct, then, you know, ultimately you are going to miss out on some real good picture quality.
And at the same time, you also need like 4K HDR content to view on it, right?
Yeah,
like,
so 4K HDR content, once again, like it's not exactly available, you know, anywhere you
go.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing we need to point out. So this is also a smart TV, but it's missing two big streaming services which actually provide HDR content, which is Netflix and
Amazon Prime Video.
So these two main big service video streaming services are not present, but they have a whole bunch of other ones like
I'm sure you can connect your Chromecast or your other Fire TV, Apple TV, whatever.
It's not built in, is what I meant.
If you have one of those things, then you can probably like watch even from your laptop you can probably stream it on HDR if you have certain laptops and certain browsers and whatnot. So you can be watching that kind of content, but you know currently it's going to be in short supply. But anyway, what they've done is they've built a patch wall in
TV. What they call the TV OS. It's called the patch wall OS, wherein it has all different streaming apps combined, and it also can integrate with the set-top box that you're using currently.
So basically, I can see live channels from my set-top
box. I honestly don't know who's going to watch like 480p set-top box content on a 4K HDR TV.
Yeah, but what
like
about if you have HD channels?
It's going to be really low resolution. You're still going to look at pixels because the panel is really huge and it's capable of running like it's running on 4K resolution.
This is also a test to see how well Xiaomi has its upscaling engine, how well it does that. Right?
Yeah, so upscaling is basically when like the picture is of lower quality and the TV is displaying it in a slightly higher quality.
Yeah.
So,
So I think, for that, the TV has like an AMLogic processor or something. And with 2GB RAM and 8GB of internal storage, which we think should be enough.
Yeah, but let's just say on paper it all looks great. But once we see the TV like in person, only then can we really say how it is. Because ultimately with the TV, what is the case? Like apart from the display, nothing else matters, right?
Yeah.
I honestly don't care. Like, okay, it has three HDMI ports, two USB ports and all that.
Yeah.
All those things are completely useless if the display quality is not up to the mark.
But they're using a Samsung panel.
Yeah.
So
for the 55-inch, it is a Samsung panel. I think it'll all boil down to the display and the GPU used, because if the GPU is not fast enough, you will see a delay in the refresh rate because it has to upscale like content from 720p to 4K. And if the GPU is not fast enough, you will see a slower refresh rate. And
like
that
ghosting,
you will have ghosting. So it wouldn't be the ideal way of watching content on that. So it all depends on how it performs.
I guess that's all for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening.